We are joined by the general manager of the Edmonton Eskimos. They are back in action Thursday night when they take on the BC Lions. Brock Sutherland joins us. Brock, welcome back to the show. A good start to the season for your team. Obviously, you would have liked to win all three games, but man, your team has led in a lot of very important categories on both sides of the ball. I'm guessing through three games, satisfied. Is that a fair word for you?
I would say somewhat satisfied. I would trade being the leader in offense and defense for one more win in a heartbeat, but that's the way it goes. They're playing against other pro teams, so that's going to happen.
What have you liked best about your team through three games?
The attitude in the locker room, probably some things that isn't readily available to the fan base and everybody else out there, but just how close-knit these guys already. We're 3 weeks in, and for me and experiences that I've had across football, it really reminds me a lot of the 2015 team in Ottawa, a very close-knit group, and also our 2010 team in New York with the Jets. So I think, above all, I think how close these guys are, because usually that translates to success, and we hope that trend continues.
When you talk about closeness in your room, is that saying that it just wasn't there last year? And any reason why it can vary from one end of the spectrum to the other in such a quick, short period of time?
Yeah, I think there was, I wouldn't say that about last year. I'll say more about this year's. I think we have a unique blend of characters in there and some tremendous leadership at some key positions. And Coach Moss has made a big emphasis this year on playing for the person next to you. Let's focus on the process. Let's focus on us above anything else. It's really resonated with the locker room, and it's showing on game days, but more than game days, the everyday process, the practices in the training room, in the locker room, and things like that.
Okay. Winning obviously helps anything, Brock. I don't think there's any debate about that. Now, it is early on, and your team's coming off a loss that, when you look at a lot of the stats and possession time and everything else, that's a game, in theory, we would have liked to win. Offense just wasn't able to punch the ball in. And penalties, as the GM, when you sit and watch and you see so many penalties, and that's kind of been a trend now. It's not just three games. It happened last year. It's happened the year before. How do you change that?
Comes down to accountability and discipline, and that's ultimately what you do. It goes back to what I hit on a little bit earlier, is it's those guys in the locker room looking at each other and saying, we need to step up and make sure we're doing the right thing for the rest of us, not just for the individual, but for the guy next to me, for the entire organization.
So when it, obviously you mentioned the group's close, but the closeness hasn't led to them becoming more disciplined. Eventually, the coach can implement fines or you can decrease playing time. That's really the only two options, right? And Jason Moss told us that on Friday that after that, it really comes down to the players. Have you spoke with the leaders of your team? Have they mentioned, are they the ones that will lead that kind of behind closed doors now amongst themselves to ensure that the penalties go down?
Yeah, you hit it right, nail on the head right there. Is our leadership group, which I have a lot of faith in, has a plan of attack. It's already been implemented. Those are things that we'll keep amongst the group here, but you're exactly right. The leadership group's taken over, and Coach Moss has spearheaded that. So it goes from the head coach down to leaders all the way down through the roster. And I'll say this about penalties. The pre-snap penalties, the post-snap penalties, whether it's objectionable conduct from someone on the sideline or false starts, those are the ones that are the most frustrating that really make you pull your hair out. The competitive penalties, so when I'm talking, whether it be a holding, a pass interference, we've had several rough in the passer, those are hard, and I'm never going to blame referees because the other team plays with the same referee, so it's never, ever an excuse. I will say, more often than not, I'd rather have to dial people back on aggressiveness than prod them to be aggressive. So I do think overall the league right now is uber sensitive to quarterbacks, and they should be. But I think initial, not just us, I think an initial part of this season is I think there's somewhat of a, for lack of a better term, eagerness, which is good. I mean, I do believe we need to protect franchise quarterbacks and so on and so forth. But the aggressiveness and the in-play penalties, those are addressed, but it's more so the pre-snap, the post-snap ones. Those are the ones that there's simply just no excuse for.
Yeah, and that's totally fair. I understand it. It's bang on. It's the old analogy. You'd rather tame a stallion than whip a mule.
And, I like that.
You've got guys that play intense. They play through the whistles. So when you're watching, Brock, and you've watched a lot of football, the pre-snap penalties, is that just a lack of either not knowing the call or is it just a lack of focus for a brief moment?
It could be a variety of things. I know there's been a couple instances where guys are dialed in and they're looking to hear an audible call from the quarterback. This is an offense, and the defensive side gives a snap count. They hear it. They think it's ready. So there's all sorts of things. And it's, you know, loud noise. They're playing on the road, and you think you hear something, you don't. It could be a combination of things. But at the end of the day, it's focus. Like I said, pre-snap, post-snap, that's focus. That's discipline. That's saying, you know, dial in. You know, most plays on average in football are anywhere from 6 to 10 seconds. And when you count the 20-second play clock, like, hey, it's 26 seconds. Let's dial it in. Let's really focus and make sure that we're not hindering the people next to us. And our guys try. So I'll just say that. I mean, penalties aren't something that players, coaches, all of us don't care about. It's obviously not the case. Everybody's doing their best out there. But I think for the most part, it's a combination of things. It'd be hard to say it's this one specific thing every time.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Brock Sutherland, GM of the Eskimos, joins us. You're on the road in BC, then you're on the road again next week, not home until the 25th of July. Does a team get that much closer when you're on a three-game road trip, even though you're coming home between every road game?
It gives you more time to spend time with the guys. Yeah, I think it does help from that aspect, certainly. It's easier to get together and go hang out and watch another game on, whether it's football or not, or go catch a movie together, or whatever they want to do in groups, as opposed to if you're here, you're going home for some players' wives and families. So, yeah, absolutely, it does help.
Now, the return game, it's difficult to find big returners in the CFL now. I think teams cover overall better than maybe they ever have before. When you're scouting for guys like Martise Jackson, has a pretty good resume as a return guy, but it's just, is it harder now than ever, Brock, to return kicks consistently in the CFL?
You know, actually, in theory, it should be easier because you're holding up the guys on the line of scrimmage on punt returns a little bit longer. So if you look at the rule changes that were implemented, I believe, before the 2016 season, it should actually be easier. But I think you're right about one thing, is I think there's better athletes covering. I think the way teams have adjusted and coverage teams, you're putting more athletic guys out there than in years past. I think that's a big part of it. And they're just getting coached a little bit different. So I've also seen through the years, whether it's this league or the other league, they kind of tend to come in bunches. When you get one and you break one, then all of a sudden there's a belief. And guys, I will say this, when you have a special returner, and obviously I wasn't here to see it firsthand, but certainly watching on TV and knowing who he is, you have a guy like a Gizmo back there, players are going to hold their blocks a little bit longer because there's that ultimate belief, we can take one back. So I think it all comes into play.
Brock, you know, I asked you earlier about the thing that's impressed you. You talked about the cohesiveness of your group. What about the depth of your team, considering, you know, you've got a lot of starters. You know, Anthony Orange, you got Sir Vincent Rogers, Yoman Santos, Knox, guys, Don Umumba, all on the sixth game that many people expected to be starters for your team and really haven't for the most part all season long. And the guys that have stepped in have been very good, specifically in the linebacking core.
Yeah, and you know, that's a testament to our scouting process and to our coaching staff, getting those guys ready to go, finding the right talent, and then to the players themselves stepping up. And you know, it sounds like such a cliche about the next man up, but that's the reality. And I've said this before at camp, I believe when Sir V got hurt, is if you never thought there was a chance that somebody was going to get hurt, you'd just go sign starters and not worry about depth. But unfortunately, in this game, it is a violent game and injuries happen, even the non-violent ones, whether it be hamstring or whatever it may be, you need depth. So across the board, our personnel department has done a great job. Our coaches have done a phenomenal job getting them ready to go, and the players have all dialed in and stepped up when they've been called upon.
Now, we do know that Anthony Parker's done for the season. Are you confident that, you know, Sir Vincent Rogers and those other guys will be available before the season's over this year?
Yeah, we are. We you know, no guarantees. As with any injury, guys recover differently. Their bodies respond to rehab differently. But we're very cautiously optimistic that everybody's going to return at some point.
Okay. So now, when you have that, how do you have to manage the salary cap? How does that change? Because, we're going to get these guys back, and some of those guys are on bigger contracts. How do you massage the salary cap? Does it make it more difficult because you're going to have to potentially bring on some bigger contracts late in the year?
It does. You have to balance that, and you have to account for it later. So when you're doing your week-to-week or you're planning for the years, you try to project when they're going to be back, account for that salary coming back on, and implementing that into the cap while you're also replacing that player with a current player and their salary. So there's definitely some juggling and some delicacy to it. The bigger challenge is if you have a guy on the sixth game and he's not on there for two consecutive six games where he can get a free pull, where his salary doesn't count. If he comes back, like, for example, Malumba for us, we've pulled him early because he's healthier than what we potentially thought he would be.
Okay.
Now you inherit every salary, every game that he was out. So from a cap perspective, you look at that and say we've budgeted for potentially six that aren't hitting the cap, and now all three do. So that certainly changes things.
So when they're on the sixth game for the entire sixth game, and then they come off, when they're on for their contract for those six games, like in hockey, they have what's called LTIR. You just go on that, and it's kind of like a bonus on top. And is that the exact same? Like, there's no penalty. Like, if you have too many injuries, you don't get penalized by having too many guys on long-term?
No. Okay. It is. No, you can't really count for it. So there is no penalty for having it.
Okay. And then obviously that will come into play if you get to week four and, geez, this guy's ready, but we might not have salary cap space late in the year. That might be where you have to hold a guy on for an extra week just because.
Well, you don't do that anymore. I mean, you shouldn't do that anyway, but usually, and it's certainly with the people that we have, we're not going to hold out a caliber of Sir Vincent Rogers, Unamba, or Santos Knox, et cetera. So there is a theory you could do that, but with the people we have there, we're eager and excited for them to get back.
Now, you mentioned Santos Knox. Vontae Diggs has been exceptional. That could be do you facilitate a defensive scheme where both can be on the field?
Well, it's certainly something to talk about, and that will be in the discussion. But I know this, the better players you have certainly always increases the schemes you can do and the multiple fronts and all those things that you can attempt to do. So it's been discussed, and we'll see what we can do.
And you mentioned Malumba Chishmanga, who you guys brought off early, comes back. Obviously, he's a non-import. You expect him, in national, still old school. But you expect him, originally his biggest contribution is going to come on special teams just because the way the starters are playing in the linebacking core?
Yeah, that's going to be the initial phase. Is he's going to come in as a backup who we expect to be a very good special teamer, as he has been the previous 2 years, but also with the complete confidence in him that if he has to step in and fill in at linebacker, we know he can get the job at Will or Mike as well.
And lastly, Brock, when you look at the corner position, Arjun Colquhoun, you know, a few years ago, this guy was a starter playing really well. Has he struggled since coming back to injury? Why is his game not at the level it was prior?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily that his game isn't at the level. It's just that Godfrey Onyeka stayed healthy throughout camp, and he was playing very well. So we elected to go with a player that hadn't missed a beat, was out there every day, and there was a little bit of continuity. And when you start talking about some of the other injuries that happened, there was a thought process that keeping someone there who had continuity with our other field cornerback, it just made more sense. But Arjun's been rehabbing hard. He's been great. He's had a wonderful attitude every time, and we certainly expect him to be back on the field this year and play well like he always has.
Brock, always good to catch up with you. Best of luck in BC on Thursday night.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.